For the fans, by the fans, this is the Pitch Hero Non-League Show. Coming up this week, did someone mention a cup match?
We're getting a choir involved at a church choir, and we've had to teach them some football songs.
We might, a little later. Plus, we'll meet the Norwegian TV star coming to a football pitch near you, and 11 years at one club, the non-league lover retiring, although it's not his boots he's hanging up. You are listening to the Pitch Hero Non-League Show. Let's bring in the team. Barcelona's epic comeback in the Champions League has got nothing on Chelmsford City 4, East Thurrock 4, both of which could have benefited from the goalkeeping skills of former Northern Ireland international turned non-league manager, turned golfing pro, turned over in the bed this morning, AFC Wimbledon and Hendon's finest, Dave Anderson.
What an introduction. Good morning. How are you?
I think the introduction is still going on. The laughter in the background, canned probably. Someone who's travelled further to come back for the show than anyone else before him, so to speak. Former resident of China, now back in the UK from FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Good morning, Caroline, and good morning, Dave.
Morning, mate.
Back by unpopular demand, judging the term from Dave Anderson to you then.
Two communists for China, apparently. Yeah. Two communists for them.
Why doesn't that surprise me? Did you catch any of the non-league scene whilst you were in China?
Not necessarily the non-league scene, but the Sunday football scene, which is certainly in Shanghai, very, very popular. There are so many teams to go out and watch, so I just went to watch the local pub team because they gave me a lift to the game, basically, and brought me back to the pub. The game's thriving out there, though, from a non-league perspective all the way through to the sort of like the big, big teams. And China in the next probably 10 or 15 years, you can expect them to be really pressing in World Cups. They've got a vision, a plan. They've got loads of coaches out there from the non-league game and from the pro game, keep teaching the kids from 7 and 8 years of age now all the way through. So you can expect big, big things of China in the next few years.
All about teaching the kids. Possibly maybe send you out there again to perhaps manage them. Are you fancy that gig, Dave Anderson?
To be fair, that would interest me in as much as that it would
be
paid. I've been in dressing rooms many, many times where people don't understand me, but at least I would have a good excuse in China.
Well, while you've got China on your mind, is there a song in there somewhere? We never doubt that the non-league community can come together, but amazing show of generosity this week after a keeper broke his neck on the pitch. Slough Town's Mark Scott's vertebrae was shattered in a collision with another player during Saturday's match against Basingstoke. And in a matter of hours, fans around the country had raised thousands of pounds to support him. Slough boss Neil Baker, one of those behind the fundraising effort. Hi, Neil.
Good morning, how are we?
Yeah, we're all right. How's Mark, more importantly?
Yeah, he's still at hospital. We're hoping that he'll be released today back home. He's going to be in a neck brace for quite a substantial time, and which obviously means he's going to be off work for a long period. And then obviously football, which is the second thought, when he might be able to play football again, if at all.
We say if at all. What is the prognosis? Just kind of sit and wait, is it?
I think so. I think you know, from a point of view from the doctors, they hope that he'll get, you know, to have a full recovery. But I think mentally, as a keeper, it's a very difficult injury to overcome. You know, not too many people break their neck playing football, and I think mentally it's going to be very difficult for him. I think he's going to have a long road ahead of him, and obviously we hope he comes back to play. But I guess there'll be some doubts against that.
What was that moment like, Neil? I mean, did you know instantly something was up?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a freak collision. The lad from Basingstoke, Nana Owusu, he just went for the ball. It was there to go for, and his knee caught the top of Mark's head, and it sort of pushed his head back into his neck, and he went down instantly. And he knew it was bad. Fortunately, we had Kev McGoldrick, who's been our physio for 31 years, and Kelly from Basingstoke. They both ran on the pitch at the same time, and they were absolutely fantastic, and according to the specialists, they said that the care that he got there probably stopped him from any paralysis.
I can vouch for Kevin McGoldrick, that's for sure. I worked at the club, and you know, he's second to none in that department of all my time in the game. So so that was luck in some aspect of it. And, you know, as a goalkeeper myself, I understand your concerns about anyone coming back from such a horrific injury. I would say that we are mad. It's a department of the football pitch where we are mad, so I wouldn't bet against it. But I'd like to turn it, you know, with all our best concerns to him, but I'd like to turn it to the manager's side of it now.
Yeah.
At a really important part of the season, Neil.
Yeah.
And you're right up there, and we shout, you know, probably guaranteed playoffs and going to have to do something to fall out of that or to win the league, you know. So have you managed to bring someone else in, or how have you gone about the next stage?
Yeah, as you say, it's difficult at this stage of the season. We brought in a lad called Paul Stradley for last night's game. He got promoted from Hungerford last year from our league, so he's an experienced keeper. But he's actually playing for Hartley Whitney at the moment, and he's their keeper. So we've been talking to a number of pro clubs about, you know, possible loanees, and we're trying to sort of come up with as many options as possible. As you say, it's such an important time of the year for us. I think the title's probably gone, if I'm brutally honest, you know, having beaten last night. But we're right there in the playoffs, so we need to try and get it right. We'll do our best to do that, but it's not easy.
Swampy.
Yeah, just a quick one in regards to, obviously, the importance of the footballing side of things. But as a goalkeeper, is he contracted to the club? So therefore, you have the responsibility to maybe look after him until that period of time. And from a community perspective, you've got to be very, very pleased with the way the football community has rallied round and supported him. I remember a player in the Northern Premier League a couple of seasons ago who had a compound fracture, and something similar happened, and he could work for, I think, 6 months, and the community came together. So you've got to be very proud in that respect as well.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely amazing what's happened. I believe that he won't work for anywhere between 3 to 6 months. His job is as a trainee accountant. I know that he doesn't get sick pay. I think it's statutory sick pay that he'll get. Mm. From a point of view from the football, he's not contracted, but as a club, we would look after him anyway. We've already said that. And but I mean, what's happened, you know, it just goes to show the power of social media and the football family, as they say, coming together. It's quite humbling, really, that that it can happen for somebody. And, you know, what would be a very, very difficult time for him and his partner, you know, with a mortgage and everything else, like we all have. It's amazing what's happened, and that's probably the one thing that he can take from it, you know, is that he hasn't got to have that financial worry, you know, around his neck. And that's no pun intended, but, you know, that's an amazing, amazing thing that's happened.
Well, Neil, well done to all that you and the guys at the club are doing. And of course, I'm sure you'd want to say thank you to everyone else around the non-league community that's got involved. But if someone hasn't yet, how can they find out more about helping Mark?
Yeah, well, the crowdfunding page is all over our the Slough Town Twitter and Slough Town Facebook page. So, you know, it's Mark Scott to find it from the Twitter or the Facebook page, and any donations would be greatly received.
Well done again, Neil. Send him our love and our best wishes, and all the best to you for the rest of the season.
Thanks ever so much, everyone.
Thanks for coming on.
Cheers, no problems.
Neil Baker, manager down at Slough. You said it, Swampy, but Dave, we've seen it so many times before when you've got a club in a situation like this, and just how important it is to have everyone coming together.
Yeah, it is, and our level of football, Kaz, has always done it, and I think we'll always do it. I think, you know, there's the big point to me made here is that sometimes supporters and the general public aren't aware of the sacrifice that the players at our level make. You know, we watch the top level players, and no one wants an injury to anyone before anybody jumps on the case, but when the top players get injured, they get the best treatment. They are paid a lot of money, and financially their family would never ever suffer, whereas when you come into non-league, that's not the case. And you know, we watch this game week in, week out, and watch people be 100% committed to it. So this is a lovely part of it. You know, it's a part that in the heat of the battle, no matter how heated the game can be or nasty games are at times, or one club doesn't like another club, when this happens, that's all pushed aside and people respond to the needs of the player, and this will happen again. And Slough as a club, Kaz are a big club and a well-supported club, and Scott will get that support from the club and from non-league.
Well, Dave, just on a similar vein, actually, you know, we're talking about football clubs. I know earlier in the week, Colville Town were playing Marine, and the Marine bus actually broke down 50 miles from the ground. And what happened? Well, the players and the management of Colville Town drove 7 cars down to pick them up and actually brought them to the game. You know, so you know, it just shows that the footballing family teams, they you know, there's lots of, as we know, edge and competitiveness when it comes to so the match time, 90 minutes of football. But after that, generally, and before that, as we both know, that there is a great solidarity amongst both supporters and clubs as well, which is nice to see.
Yeah, and just going back to Slough's physio, Kevin McGoldrick, who, as I say, I worked at the club and I've known Kevin many years. He is, like, if on a Friday night, every Friday night, you get a phone call with a complete rundown of everyone from a broken neck to a broken toenail. You know, you will get how they are, what they're doing, why they're doing it, how long they'll be. So again, you know, with the help of the girl at Basingstoke, Scotty's got the best treatment when the injury happens, which can be really the time that, you know, we need people on the pitch who know what they're doing. So once again, you know, you have to offer my cap to those people.
Yeah, I suppose in a lot of ways it's they're the unsung heroes, because we see them running on and off the pitch for throughout the game, but all their work primarily is done off the pitch, outside of sort of like joint training sessions and so on and so forth, making sure the manager understands and knows what the players, how fit they are, if not that if they're not fit. And also they're very precise in everything they do, aren't they? If there is a slight doubt, they will tell managers, you know, I don't think you should play him. And they play a big integral part in your preparation as a manager.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I would always say that, you know, when it comes to the injury side of it, you know, I don't expect the physio to do the team talk or pick the team. But I certainly won't step on his toes if he's recommending a player's injured.
If you do have a point to make on anything that we've been talking about during the show, mostly Swampy and Dave Anson, if you want to complain about anything I've said, then don't use the following address, @nonleagueshow, to find us on social media. Now, on last week's show, we were telling you how Paul Konchesky, formerly of England, West Ham, Fulham, Leicester, Liverpool, etc., had signed for Isthmian Liga's Billericay. And a week that also saw the club's manager resign and the club's owner become manager. If you're still following, worry not. Craig Edwards, the aforementioned manager who resigned, joins us now and can explain more. Hiya, Craig.
Hi, Caroline.
That sounds like a week in the life of you.
Yeah, never a dull moment.
What happened?
Basically, I've been, since the takeover, it's been sort of, I can't say I've been happy, that, you know, there was a lot of interference, perhaps, and it got to the point where I felt that this is going to continue. It was getting worse. It got to the point where I was informed by the chairman, Dan Groves, that Glenn wanted to be joint manager, and it was basically something I wasn't prepared to accept.
So for those that don't know, I mean, we did explain briefly the story last week. So Glenn Tamplin's come in with a fair bit of money, it's fair to say.
Yeah.
It's taken over the club, and that has seen a big name signing like Paul Konchesky. Other signings come back too. There have been a few raised eyebrows over the sort of players that you've been able to bring in. Then Glenn in he's put a statement up on the website. We have asked him to come on the show. We're yet to hear back, but hopefully if he wants to come on next week, he's more than welcome. We can continue this, the ongoing saga of Billericay. He said on the website that he's spoken to you, agreed, still good friends, but that you couldn't work together. A clash of personalities, he said. Is that fair?
I think that's fair, yeah. It's very fair, you know. He's a very focused individual, very driven. you know, much the same as myself. And, you know, we had Dan Groves, who was a perfect buffer between us. But gradually the buffer became eroded so slightly, and Glenn wanted to be more involved. And, you know, it was something I couldn't go with, you know. Glenn's put an enormous amount of money and improved the club phenomenally, you know. So it's not for me to say that he can't do what he wants with his football club. But, you know, I've got my principles and my ways of doing things, and it was something that I couldn't live with, you know. So I resigned, and I, in the long run, I think it's better for me, better for the club, and better for Glenn.
Hi, Craig, it's Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, mate. What some people sort of won't know or won't remember, and I'm sure I'm right in saying this, is Glenn was your centre half at Barking, one of your captain at Barking, if I remember.
Yeah,
going back all those years.
Barking side, actually, he was central midfielder.
Centre mid. So your relationship isn't a 5-minute one.
The thing is, what people don't realise, I've always thought my biggest attribute was team building, and the team we built that year on no money at all was just incredible. They go through walls for you, and what they achieved that season, winning the league and the London Senior Cup for a club of that size was just incredible, you know. And those boys, we've had two, three reunions over the years, and they're like brothers, and I'm like a dad to them, and we're just very, very close. And prior to the takeover with Glenn, if I bumped into him anywhere, be it in a pub, in a street, anywhere, we'd embrace like long lost brothers, like I do with all the boys, you know. So we've got a special bond that way, you know. So it's difficult for me to. I think that had this been another club and another person, I might well have been more, how can I say, more angry about it.
Truthful.
But you know, we have got a bond. I understand his reasons. I don't agree with him. You know, and there was, to be fair, there was a number of things we didn't agree on. And it got to a head where, you know, he wanted to be joint manager. I didn't think it would work. And that's it. That was the end. I called it a day.
I know Dave and Swampy have got more questions to ask you, but just briefly from me, Craig, when you talk about, or when we talk about the sort of money coming in to a club as well, can you try and put that into perspective? You say you worked on a limited budget over the years. Kind of what percentage difference had this money come in made, and how does it sort of compare to other clubs that are at that level?
Well, it's got, our budget was $2,000 prior to him coming in, and it's over 10 now. So that tells you itself, you know, it's a huge, huge rise.
How does that compare to other clubs in the league?
Well, I'm told there's a few that are on around the 6-7s and that haven't are on 12. But, you know, it's all tittle-tattle. I don't know how true it is. But this is what I've heard, you know. So we're still behind perhaps haven't, but in front of some of the bigger hitters in the division, you know. So but how true it is, you don't know. But I would imagine there weren't many on less than $2,000. Perhaps Wingate, Endon would have been in around it, I would have thought. And, you know, so Burgess Hill, teams like that, you know, they would have probably been in around the same as us, but not, I don't think there have been many on anything less.
I wonder, Swampy's also with us, Craig, and Swampy, with your involvement formerly with FC United of Manchester, how that sort of compares to the level you were playing at when you were a similar level in the Isthmian League, but obviously up north?
Yeah, well, I think in all fairness, I mean, that's a huge budget for anyone, really, regardless of what division you're in. But the one thing that really seems disappointing, you've had 7 years at the club, and you've left in a way that's still going to, you know, stick in your goal for you. You're not going to be happy about it. And I can think of a football club up in the north, actually, who are a very well-known football club. The manager is the owner. He's also the chairman. He brought managers as to work alongside him, then got rid of them, and they've been so topsy-turvy ever since, and now they're not the club that they used to be. So you've got that fear as well, haven't you? But you've got to be first and foremost upset after 7 years of hard work at a football club to leave in this way.
Of course, you know, I mean, even more so this year, because every year we'd lose our team because of our budget. We'd lose our team. I mean, last year we lost 15 of the 17 players because we had a good season. And invariably, the better you do, the more players you lose. And we couldn't compete with any teams around us. So it was always a challenge for me to go out and build a new side. This year I've had to do it twice, albeit one of them with a lot of money, which makes things considerably easier. I think, you know, we had a real tough time when we first started with the new group, albeit they were good players. We went a good few games without a win, and we had to, you know, we had to build a team, and we did that. And before I left, you know, we'd lost one of the last 10. We'd got into the League Cup final. I also run the 21s, which was in there, sort of, they were 10 points clear with it virtually wrapped up. So, yeah, I walked away from a lot. You know, so it wasn't an easy decision, but it was a decision, not a snap decision, a decision I'd made over several weeks because of how things were going. And then when it was put to me, like, joint managers, if you like, that was the final straw.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, Craig, let me make one point to the people listening. A £2,000 a week budget in the Raymond Premier League is bottom four, bottom six. You know, don't kid yourself. That's how well you're doing. But as we're running out of time, Craig, I had two little points. The first one is, has Glenn now used this to become a manager? And the second point, if yes, is he up to it?
I missed the first bit of the question, Dave. Is Glenn what?
Has Glenn used this situation, banned his way into the club, to become a manager? Because obviously that's what he's done now. And the second part of the question would be, is he up to the job at the level?
Time will tell. I would say, I mean, you can never say. Everyone starts a job somewhere, I suppose. Whether he's come in to do that, I'm not sure. He's talking about bringing in a manager next year to take the club into the Football League, you know, or taking his clubs or club into the Football League. So it sounds like he's looking to get another manager in. Whether he'll still have that pandering to manage himself, who knows? I mean, if it goes very well for him this year, he might think, well, I'm gonna keep doing this. As for will he be up to it, all I would say is that... You know, I mean, you've managed at this level and above, and you know how difficult it is, and it's not as easy as people think, you know, and it can be really tough, and that's whether you've got money or not, you know. When things ain't going well, do you see the big picture, how to change things around? You know, can you identify players within your side that are, if you like, built for your team? Do you have a pattern of play that everyone's happy and understand? And the players that you identify to bring in, are they suitable for what you're trying to do? So there's a number of things. And obviously, dealing with players on a... He'll find that, perhaps not straight away, but the players will react to him differently now that he's a manager as opposed to an owner. You know, there's a hell of a lot of front to learn, but, you know, he's... like I say, he's a driven individual, and... If he does fail, it won't be for want of trying.
Craig, really appreciate you coming on and giving us your insight into that. We may or may not hear from Glenn next week, but we will keep an eye on you and where you end up too, not least in a menacing way, as that sounded then. Good luck, Craig, and thanks for coming on the non-league.
Thanks very much, Caroline. Thanks, Dave. See you soon, mate.
Cheers, mate. Speak to you soon, mate.
Off he goes. Craig Edwards, formerly of Billericay, the team that have brought in Paul Konchesky, seem to be spending money, as he was saying, around about... I've heard that figure they've bandied around to, around about £10,000 a week, which, for that level of football, when you're talking one, two, three levels below the Football League, is a lot of money. Although, someone once told me who got out of that league...
Yeah.
Oh, Dave, we're losing Dave Anderson to the golf course. Swampy, if you're still with us.
Gotcha.
There you
gotcha.
Go.
Gotcha. I'm still here?
Yeah, don't walk under that four. It's one of those things that I was once told, promotion into the now National South, but it was the Conference South at the time, by one particular team.
Yeah.
Not my own, I hasten to add. And they were spending 15, 16 grand a week. So Yeah,
10 grand a week's big. There's a couple of points in it. The first one is that I think Craig's been really dignified in the way he's saying it. And I'm sure if you got Craig on his own, not publicly, you'd maybe hear a little bit more truth about it. So I respect him for that. You know, he's not trying to be sour grapes about it. The second one is, if someone buys a football club, the unfortunate thing is they can do what they want with it, really. Glenn has played, and I would have thought that would have put him off.
Go on.
No, and the last point is, when your budget is 2 grand and you're given 10 grand, you can't click your fingers and make a 10 grand squad. That takes 6-8 months to a season to rebuild into that sort of performance level of a 10 grand team. So I think what Craig has done there, well, speaks for itself.
Mr. Swampy, I know you want to make a quick point. I won't let you, because you can make it in a moment, because we've got a pro in the world of journalism listening to us. I'm not saying that's not why I don't want to hear from you. But ever heard the one, and this is a story which has dominated a few back pages, or at least I'm saying it has this week, ever heard the one about the Norwegian football commentator turned player signed up for non-league football whilst working at a TV studio? Simon Muller, a TV star in Norway, has come out of retirement to play for Spartan South Midlands League side Biggleswade, and he joins us now together with Tracy James from the club. Hiya, Simon. Hello, Tracy.
Hello.
Simon, we've actually interrupted you in your day job. You're at Lincoln at the moment, aren't you, watching their FA Cup exploits?
Yeah, that's true. We're just doing a report on, basically their miracle in the FA Cup. So I'm doing some work now and then training later.
I mean, that's phenomenal in itself, isn't it? For you to get this welcome to non-league football, but seeing a non-league team playing Arsenal in the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's inspiring, isn't it? It's just, I can... This Lincoln City story is just amazing. First team since 1914 to be in the FA Cup final, and the thing is they are optimistic because of the way Arsenal is doing right now. So it's just it's amazing, and it's a good story to witness on such close up here.
Well, talking of good stories, tell me about yours then. How come you've rocked up in the Spartan South Midlands League?
Oh yeah, it started when I worked for a TV company called TV2 Norway. We had Guillaume Balaguer, the Sky Sports man, visiting in December, and he told me about this small club, and I was saying, yeah, maybe I know someone. I've retired, but maybe I know someone who can play there. Some students in London, maybe, because we got quite a decent level on our players. We play all year on artificial pitches. We got technical gifted players, but I'm retired, so yeah. Anyway, and then it started off him going about me joining, and my boss went in on it. He said, yeah, of course, then you can go and join him and see whatever he does at Sky Sports. And all of a sudden, here we are. I agreed on it, and we let's see.
well, Tracy, all of a sudden, and here we are. That's kind of been the story of Biggleswade over the past couple of seasons, hasn't it, since Guillaume's interaction?
It has been quite phenomenal, really. Since Guillaume arrived, the profile of the club has grown enormously. Even internationally, we've had French sports magazine Equipe did 4-page cover on us. We've had hashtag United, YouTube, Copper 90. It's been quite amazing. We've had Enrique De Lucas played for us a couple of times, and Gezka Mendieta is a regular visitor. So it's pretty impressive, and Guillaume's profile has helped that as well. And now we've got Mr. Muller joining us for the next couple of months just to show what he can do in front of the goal.
In front of the goal, and Simon, also in front of the cameras. Are you hoping to, or are you following it through your TV role as well? Will there be some sort of documentary?
Yeah, we have a documentary running on YouTube. So if you type Simon in England, I think it's with English subtitles as well. So after every game, after many training sessions, so we will probably have like 5-6 minutes episode running throughout March and April. So everyone at home can watch, of course. And we also have English subtitles, so you guys can see what we're talking about. And that's obviously the games, but also my work inside media, behind the scenes at clubs and everything. So it will be quite hectic, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, get a GoPro on you as you're bearing down on goal, because I hear you're pretty handy in front of goal. 40 goals in your last 58 games before you decided to retire.
Yeah, I am a goal scorer. That's what I am, and I have quite a good size as well. So I hope I can manage to stand the challenges with your centre halves. I've heard there are some tough centre halves in the league. So, but in front of goal, if I get the service, I promise Tracy and Guillaume and everyone else that I will score some goals.
Yeah, no pressure, Tracy. You need to promise now.
Well, I saw him training on the first occasion, and I think on the camera I described him as a bit rusty. But I saw him on Tuesday night, I think it was, training. And yes, he did put the ball into the back of the net quite a few times, quite impressively.
So, I've been training since. I've been training for a month.
Gosh, she sounds like a taskmaster, Tracy. I mean
yeah.
Guillaume needs you on the sidelines, Tracy.
I know, he does, yes. I do raise standards quite highly myself if players don't achieve.
Good.
But they know it.
Find them, Tracy. Simon, we're going to let you go because I know you've got to go and interview. Are you off to interview Danny Cowley, the Lincoln boss?
Danny Cowley and I think Alan Power, who grew up with Conor McGregor, so I hope to have a word with him. That's the two guys I'm talking to today, and then training tonight.
Good.
Biggleswade United.
Yeah, don't let that TV career turn your head. Training is the important thing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. All the best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you,
Simon. And Tracy, for you, what's the kind of the hope, the aim, the ambition for Biggleswade United? Because I know when Guillaume came in, he was talking about promotion. He changed a lot with the coaches as well. When you look at this team now, how far do you think they can go?
I think this year we're probably looking at a top five finish. We had a bad spell during November when we lost our way a bit, but we've picked up in the last sort of 10 games. I think we're unbeaten in 10 games, so it's picking up a lot. And we've got young players who are probably having the best coaching that they've had since, you know, throughout their career.
Yes.
The most average age is about 22, so it's taken a season or so for them to understand, to even get to the grips of what good coaching is like, and listening and learning. So yeah, I think next season will kick start. If we get off on the right foot, I think we should be pushing for promotion next season. But you know what non-league football is about? It's about, sometimes it's about money, and some clubs in our league will go all out for promotion and put the money where it's needed, but that's not our way. We want to bring players through and develop them to achieve their best rather than the money in the pocket. So we wait and see next season. I am hopeful that, given the squad that we've got and the abilities and the technical ability that they've got, that we can actually go for promotion up to the next level.
Sustainable. That's the drum I like to bang to. Tracy, good luck with it. Thanks for coming
on. Thank you very much.
All the best.
Thank you, Caroline.
Tracy down at Biggleswade United. And although, you know, we had a little joke there with obviously Simon and what he's doing and what he wants to do with the club, so important to see that progression on and off the pitch that Biggleswade United and Guillaume is doing. He's kind of putting the publicity where his mouth was, as it were.
Yeah, he certainly is. And but what's interesting to note, listening to that interview there, is the players for the first time are having decent coaching, or a different type of coaching, which you know, it's a little bit disappointing, really, when, you know, they're probably using the European method, probably got maybe some Spanish coaches in. I think when he was on last time, he was talking about bringing in UEFA Pro License coaches, Spanish coaches. And, you know, they might not have all the money in the world, but if they get that technical ability. I was watching a game a couple of nights ago, Kirill Alexandra, different perspective, but played against played against Hyde, and that was the crew under 18s, and you can see the technical ability because they've been coached and coached in the right manner. So Biggleswade, you know, they've got the opportunity to move forward, and probably in the right way as well.
Have we actually lost you down the hole now, Dave?
No, I'm just
taking
transfixed to Swampy's intelligent conversation.
That's the third time you've said that in 5 years.
Well, sure, I lied twice.
Yeah. on the subject of clubs doing well and cup runs, we're going to go back to Lincoln in a moment, because not just Simon there, we've got our eyes and ears there as well from the local radio station that followed Lincoln over the however long. We'll find out how preparations are going ahead of that match with Arsenal, which of course that word Arsenal has been banned right up until this week too, after their match with Braintree. So we'll find out how things are looking there. So a couple of other lines for you. Did you see this player that signed for York City this week, either of you?
Yeah, and was released.
Yes, Derwin Martina, released just after he made his debut, played for York's reserve side on Tuesday afternoon, completed 81 minutes before he was replaced. There was a claim that he was the brother of the current Southampton player, Cucho Martina, I think it is actually. But yeah, That's not the case. He said that he's not my cousin, he's just my friend. And he was gone, in and out. Are there moments?
Well, I can beat that, actually, in fairness. We signed a player who signed on a Tuesday, never actually kicked a ball, and actually he ripped his own registration up on the Friday.
Oh.
And never joined the club, based upon social media. That's all we'll say. An incident on social media, so he never joined the club in the end.
Yeah, it happened to Graham Souness years ago, I remember. I think it might have been at Southampton, because listen, we all sign wooden ones, believe me. I could do a whole show on that.
You need people that know the game and can see the abilities in a certain individual. And I think it's always important as well that managers themselves do get out there as well and look at players, because you can't just rely on your scouting network. And I know Dave's been out, pretty watched 1,000+ games, checking on an individual players. And I think good managers do that. They don't just rely on the scouting network. And if things don't go well, then the manager can take the blame, or in this case, it could be a scout that takes the blame.
Well, I think the manager always takes the blame. In my situation, I did watch thousands of games, but it genuinely wasn't my best suit. Discovering players, John Turner, my assistant for many years, you know, he would watch a game and see the player and go and sign him. So you have to trust, if you're no good at it, you have to trust the people who you get employed to do it. And the other thing is, you have to see it the same way, because, you know, I've watched games with Willie, and Willie's got a great record as a scout, still scouting today for QPR.
Absolutely.
But I've disagreed with him many times, you know, about players. So you all have to be on the same page of what sort of thing you're looking for.
Just on that note of when things can turn around so rapidly, Petersfield Town, they confirmed that John Robson, their manager, quit at half-time in their home defeat to Kidlington on Saturday. He was with, John's been with Gosport, Winchester City, Worthing, Dover as well, I think. Wasn't he?
What was the score at half-time, Kaz?
Now you're testing me. I've just given you all that other knowledge that I had there.
No, so, I just think it's a strange... listen, I don't think I've ever quit many times, but it just seems... I think it's one thing to make your mind up at half-time, but to sort of go, that's me, as soon as it gets to 5 o'clock, I'm out of here. But to actually go at 3:45 is something different.
They're bottom of the table, and they were 3-0 down.
Well, you might as well beat the rush then.
You might as well. You should have done it at 3 o'clock, shouldn't you? Then probably. That's when you get the players sort of. They say, right, well, if he's gone, let's show him what we can do. But that's a very interesting one. Of course, you know, half time. Very interesting.
I'd like to point out, I wasn't laughing at the situation. I was just laughing at the fact that Dave Anderson made a joke that was relatively funny.
And I say, I'm just thinking, he said he hasn't quit that often. I think he quits on the 13th hole every other week, doesn't he?
Well, he needs to get out on it. I think we've only got 5 minutes left of him.
Yes, yeah. I'm overlooking the golf club now, and as much as I love your company, I know I'm starting to wander, you know.
there's only one story left to keep your attention, and that is the story of Lincoln City.
Oh, big one.
Well, we've mentioned them maybe once, maybe twice, possibly even three times this season already. But next up, what was the biggest game this week for Lincoln City? Well, 94% of those responding to BBC Lincoln's Rob Makepeace on Twitter said Braintree, meaning only 6% voted for Arsenal. Who are they? Lincoln only went and beat Braintree to extend their lead at the top of the National League. And now then, there is the small matter of an FA Cup match that we can finally now talk about, Rob, because it's been banned, that weren't Arsenal, hasn't it, at Lincoln?
Yeah, we've not thought about Arsenal, to be perfectly honest. We've had too many other things. At the start of the season, the big thing for Lincoln City was to get promoted out of the National League, and that is still the huge aim. This is just a huge, huge, huge bonus. It's something I think, as a non-league club, you never expect to get to the last eight of the competition. That is a huge, huge thing for the football club. And it is about enjoying it, but actually, and I think this is something, it's Danny Cowley's mantra, and it passes on to you, you know, to us in the media, to the players, to the supporters. We're not going there for a day out. We're going there to win.
Which is a distinct possibility, given the feelings of Arsenal fans at the moment, that might actually happen. Let's briefly reflect on Braintree then. A 4-0 win, extending their lead at the top, and a decent striker on his debut, Lee Angle, like an iPhone, says Danny Cowley. Can do a bit of everything.
Amazing. I mean, first time since December 1966 a Lincoln player had scored a hat-trick on his debut. I mean, it is a different proposition for Lincoln fans to watch somebody like that up front. He's a tall player, but he's not got the physicality and the strength of Matt Reed, but you can see he's got an eye for goal. His finishes, I've scored one from the penalty spot, the other two finishes superbly placed into the bottom corner. It's a real test of Lincoln's character, I think, and strength. We see a lot of teams before a big cup match can maybe their players have got an eye on the next game and they're thinking about, well, I don't want to fly into a tackle. It's probably the best I've seen Lincoln City play, to be perfectly honest, in around a month, maybe 2 months since they beat Dover in January. It's the best I've seen Lincoln play in the league. And with Tranmere's result going for Lincoln, with Barrow beating Tranmere, to go into this little run of games with the cup and then the trophy coming up as well next week, to have a 6-point gap at the top, that's huge.
Oh yeah, phenomenal with the trophy too. I know we haven't got long with you because you've got to run off to a church apparently. Maybe we'll ask what that's about. But Swampy, go on.
Yeah, it was just a quick one in regards to the trophy. I mean, that's going to be a big, big extra bonus for you this season as well. I mean, the possibility of Wembley. How do you approach are all games being approached in the same manner now, or is a priority with the league, obviously, as you said earlier on, then the trophy and then the FA Cup? I mean, what is the priority with the exception of the league?
Do you know what? It's really difficult, and it's quite funny because Lincoln have now got quite a big squad, so they're able to mix the squad up quite a bit. So there's a trophy team, you would say. So some of the players who maybe don't play as many league games or as cup games playing the trophy, and they've been nicknamed by the players as the team. They're Lincoln Lizards. That's what they're known as. So they tend to play in the FA Trophy, the Lincoln Lizards. Don't know why they chose Lincoln Lizards. Who knows? So Lincoln have got real strength in depth, and it's a huge important week. We'll see a full strength side, there's no doubt, against Arsenal on Saturday. And then the trophy games are going to be very interesting because Lincoln are Tuesday, Saturday now until the end of the season. And with the away leg being first, it might seem that maybe the stronger team will maybe play. I say the stronger team, I mean, the players coming in could easily play regular National League football at the top of that level. So it's not a weakened side, so to speak. But I think Lincoln will look at the trophy. And the great thing is Lincoln have never been to Wembley in their whole club history. They've never been to Wembley. There is a slight chance that could happen on Saturday. Book a place at Wembley, and then the following Saturday, if they can get past York, they could then have two appearances set for Wembley when they've not had one in their history before.
And Rob, I mean, going back to your original statement that the FA Cup has been a massive bonus, we were just saying off air, it's been a massive distraction as well from sort of league stuff. But, you know, speaking to the players, not so much Danny and Nicky, because we know what they're about and we've known them, but you've obviously spoke to the players. How do they do that? How do they get the players blinkered that they're literally looking at the next game? Has any of the lads give you any indication?
It must be so difficult, but the players are very focused. And I always remember I ran on the pitch at Burnley at full time to interview Sean Raggett, who just scored the winner. And obviously he was in cloud nine. And one of the first things he said, this is fantastic, having a great day, but we're thinking about North Ferriby United on the Tuesday night. And it is that
I think the great thing for Lincoln is, as I said, they've got such a big squad now that the players know if they don't put in a performance, they will be replaced. And they've got this whole mantra and this whole personality in the squad that we just take one game at a time. And we've started saying it in the media. We've started coming out with Danny Cowley's catchphrases. It's one game at a time. We're just thinking about the next game. It's really bad. And we keep saying it to each other and we're thinking, what's he done to us? He's got some kind of power over us at the moment. It's unreal. But they do think one game at a time. And it is really important for Lincoln, because they're not... thing is, they've got players who have played a lot of non-league football, who have been in difficult situations, who maybe are trying to save their careers, and they're aware that the sooner they can get the league title hopefully sewn up or get to the Wembley, you know, it's great for their CVs and their football careers as well. So the players, they buy into what Danny and Nicky Cowley do. They buy into the way they work and their work ethic. And I think they set the best example, Danny and Nicky. You know, they're at the club at 6 o'clock in the morning and they're not leaving until 10, 11 o'clock at night. I don't know how they physically do it, to be honest with you, and how they look still so awake. I've been one bad night's sleep. I look dreadful in the morning. They managed to come into a press conference and look as good as anything. So they just have this work ethic, this mentality that will do everything possible to get Lincoln City to be a successful football club again. And I think it rubs off, whether it is the players, whether it is the staff at the football club, whether it is the media, whether it's the supporters, everybody seems to have brought in to what they are trying to do.
Well, Rob, I mentioned you've got to go to church. Any reason why?
Yeah, so you'll see this on social media. I can't give away too much, but we're getting a choir involved at a church choir, and we've had to teach them some football songs. So if you go on our BBC Radio Lincolnshire Sport Facebook page, you will see what we have. It's going to be an experience, to say the least. We've had to do some family friendly edits to some football chants, to say the least. Yeah, we've had to do some slight changes of the lyrics, but we've got it ready. I've had to get the guys in the office to record it first to give it to the choir, to give it as an example. So I've had to be a choir master myself to get the guys in the office to know the chants, and then I've got the actual proper choir man to go and teach the ladies choir tonight some of Lincoln City's songs. So you'll see that on our BBC Radio Lincolnshire Sport Facebook page over the coming days.
Brilliant. Well done on all you're doing too, Rob. Enjoy this weekend. Enjoy every single moment and possibly more trips to Wembley and everything else besides. Thank you for coming on, Rob.
No problem. Thank you.
Rob Makepeace, BBC Radio Lincoln. You're all there still, boys. But yeah. I know you'd quite like to run off and be part of that choir. It's like heading to the circus, isn't it?
Well, I don't think... I think Swampy's voice is maybe better than mine, so I'd ask Swamps.
I think from a commentator's perspective, he's going to be having the time of his life. Forget choirs and everything else, but just to be able to commentate on everything so far with Lincoln City is going to be fantastic. And the one thing you can hear in the commentary, I know they've overdubbed the commentary on the BBC with local commentators, and you can hear the passion, you can hear what it means to sort of like local radio commentators when the club does really, really well. And I don't know how further high pitch you can actually get if they actually go on and beat Arsenal, because it's going to be a great couple of weeks for them. And equally, though, it could be a really disappointing couple of weeks. So that's where the managers really earn their crust in the next couple of weeks, because York at the moment, we know, are at the bottom of the division, looking like they're going into the Conference North next season. But they'll be wanting to sort of like finish the season on a high with a visit to Wembley, similar to what Halifax did last season. You know, it's going to be very interesting, but a great story and great for commentary.
Well, yeah, you mentioned...
And the old saying, Kaz, sorry to interrupt you.
The old saying is, I'll talk over you any time I like.
was it talk? I wasn't sure what it was. As he said, like, the guys are in early and they leave late. And the old saying is that the harder you work, the luckier you get. And, you know, there's no substitute for hard work, and you get your rewards if you do it properly, and they obviously are getting that.
Well, you mentioned commentary, Swampy. A special week for me this week, because I got to meet a bit of a non-league legend. Plenty more on our Audio Boom and iTunes feeds online, including an interview with this man, Gavin Dennison. He completed his 471st Aldershot Town commentary, and for the moment, his last. Over the past 11 years, Gavin has been commentating on the shots for BBC Surrey, but now his day job as a recruitment consultant means he's leaving the UK for Saudi Arabia. I caught up with Gavin as he laid the mic down for one final time after the 0-0 draw with Lincoln.
This is my 471st Aldershot Town game for the BBC. Yeah, promotion, relegation, administration. They've won at West Ham. They've lost at home to Burgess Hill Town and Shortwood United. It's covered everything, and that's kind of what non-league football's about. I've seen them walk out against Manchester United, and I've seen them walk out at some lower league grounds with a bit of fencing around the pitch. It's been a great journey, and they're a really good club to cover. From the staff, the players, the fans, they're just really, really a friendly club to cover. There's always a story, which is nice from a commentary perspective. It's been a lot of fun. There have been a few seasons where it's been a bit of a struggle getting to the ground, but Gary Waddick has really brought that kind of joy and life back, and hopefully the next time I come back it'll be with them in League 2.
You say hopefully when you come back. I know you come back, you can't keep away. For any aspiring journalists though, who think about doing commentary or getting involved in their non-league club, what would you say to them?
There are lots of ways you can start. I started doing hospital radio, which is always a brilliant way. I did hospital radio for a couple of years before I started doing the BBC work. You'll invariably have to do a little bit of work for free for a few years as well.
You mean you get paid now?
Only for my testimonial, yeah. It's about finding stories, making relationships, and if you can find yourself a really good club to cover, then that's even better. I mean, I've been very lucky covering Aldershot Town, but it's having enthusiasm, having passion, telling it like it is. I could sit here and tell you that every game Aldershot Town have been amazing and the other team have cheated, but people see through you pretty quick. So you've got to have that sort of integrity as well, and ultimately you've just got to enjoy it. And luckily I have.
You can see how much you mean to the club because the players and the manager come up to see you. You don't have to go down and see them. He's all big time. Enjoy the break. We will see you back. Maybe when Aldershot are in the Premier League.
Absolutely. Maybe, Caroline.
Nah, you say no then. No, I'm not doing it.
Well, fingers crossed. Like I said, I mean, they're going great guns at the moment. I've just got a sneaking suspicion they won't quite make it. But, they're 11 unbeaten. They've just held, Lincoln have beaten Brighton, beaten Ipswich, beaten Burnley. Couldn't beat Aldershot.
Thanks to Gavin. Thanks to everyone for listening too. Do, if you can, give us a rating on iTunes. You can write a review or you can just add a few stars. We're also up for the British Podcast of the Year.
So if you can, hey.
We're also up for the British Podcast of the Year. No, I was going for a bigger cheer then. If you'd like to see Dave, thank you.
There's a problem with that, though.
Why?
There's a problem with the award ceremony. It's on the last day of the season.
Yeah, I did notice that. It's all right.
That's a bit of a strange one, isn't it?
I'm just sending Dave because he's got nothing to do.
there's no golf that day.
And also, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. If you do want to vote for us, just go to britishpodcastawards.com, although we're up for some other awards as part of that as well. This has been the Pitch Hero Non-League Show. To get in touch, you can drop us a line on social media at Non-League Show. Speak now, boys, or forever hold your peace if there's anything else you wish to add.
Yeah, well, this weekend, FC United are hosting a Manchester City United festival where it's an anti-racist sort of like a community festival of football from teams all around the UK. We've got International Women's Day as well with the United Glasgow women's team against Eastern Cowgirls from Bristol, played in an exhibition match. It should be very, very good. Embracing all things non-league and bringing communities together at the weekend.
And for me, as Danny and Nicky Curley walk out at the Emirates thinking it's their birthday, it will actually be my birthday, so I'll be down the coast playing some golf.
I'm glad you mentioned it will be your birthday. Not because I want to say happy birthday to you, but we must say happy birthday to Dave Waters, who had his birthday this week.
He did.
So on the occasion of Dave Anderson's birthday,
wasn't it?
Yes, on the occasion of Dave Anderson's birthday, happy birthday to Dave Waters.
Well, happy birthday to both of you.
Happy birthday, gentlemen. As always, a pleasure. You have been listening to the Non-League Show. get in touch with your stories at Non-League Show. Goodbye.